Well, hello everyone. I'm often accused of analysing the problems, endlessly critiquing things, never coming up with any solutions. Well, I have tabled this solution, this possible solution to Britain's immigration problem several times already. I'm actually pretty serious about it. You know, if any of my fans from the Tony Blair Institute are watching, honestly, you could do this. The resources you've got, you could easily make this happen. And it's not a million miles away from what governments are actually doing already. I just think the framing of some of the previous solutions that people have had isn't quite going to cut it. It doesn't solve the incentives problem that leads to immigration being an issue in the first place. Why is immigration an issue? Well, it's because the third world is severely underdeveloped. Let's just put it that way. And so there's an opportunity for a much better life working or living in Great Britain for millions of people around the world who have nothing, basically. They will take opportunities that are not attractive to the locals, whether it's working in a petrol station or, working below minimum wages or in warehouses. There is a certain, I think that the line is overdone, as I've talked before, about how British people don't want to work. It's just not true. Lots of British people want jobs and do work. But the fact is that they can get these people to work for a fraction of what local people would work for due to the disparity between the conditions in the third world and conditions here in a first world country. I say first world, rapidly diminishing status of first world country in Britain. So in this video, I'm going to outline what I have called my Madagascar solution or the Madagascar plan, which has nothing to do with, there are historical versions of that as well, which never actually happened. But I was actually what got me thinking along these lines originally was Rishi Sunak's Rwanda plan, which, as you can see, was called inhumane, ineffective, expensive, and unlawful. Okay, and that was shot down by various human rights groups. Was against Geneva Conventions on refugees, and various other things that made this Rwanda plan a non-goer, basically. Okay, more recently, there has been something that Keir Starmer is very keen on, something that Tony Blair has been keen on, and that is the Albania plan, which has been pioneered by Giorgia Meloni. That is basically a processing, sending people who arrive in Lampedusa and various other places in Italy, sending them off to Albania to be processed, asylum seekers and whatnot. Trouble is with both these solutions, the Rwanda plan and this updated Albania plan, they don't actually get at the root problem. And in a moment, I'm going to introduce you to my souped up, what I'm calling the Madagascar plan. And I'll tell you why I've picked Madagascar in a moment. But first of all, I do have spring sale on at the moment, 25% off all courses at the academic agency. Buy it now. Maybe you do one of my courses and you'll have the skills to, make the Madagascar plan work. Anyway, it's promo code Mandy. All courses, 25% off. Trivium, the bestseller.
A country in which I have spent so much of my adult life and admire so much.
Promo code Mandy, 25% off all courses. Come on down, academic agency. Every single course, 25% off. Promo code Mandy.
Country in which I have spent so much of my adult life and admire so much.
All right, so let us introduce then the my patented Madagascar plan. And genuinely, I think this could work and I think this could happen as well as people. And now, I mean, we literally have the Albania plan happening right now. So this is only a really short step away from what people have already been talking about with Rwanda and now Albania. So the first thing is Britain can revoke citizenship. So let's say somebody is currently a British citizen. Maybe they've lived here for 5 years, but they haven't integrated into the country. They're committing crime all the time. They're in and out of jail, right? This is like the worst case scenario. And the authorities decide, look, you know, you're a problem in this country. We don't want you here. So we're going to send you to Madagascar. And then, if you follow the arrow across, anyone sent by the UK becomes an automatic citizen of Madagascar. Okay, and this circumnavigates the Geneva Convention problem and the human rights issue, because now Madagascar is automatically, you know, you're now a citizen of another country. Okay, so you're legally now Madagascan. Okay, the UK also sends tons of money to Madagascar. You could fund this by cutting all the current welfare funds that go to non-British families. Okay, I don't know what that number is, but you know that there's bound to be some if there was a proper audit done. And you could pretty much send the entire foreign aid budget, you know, or a huge chunk of it over to develop or help to develop Madagascar. Okay. The money that you give, obviously you don't give it for free. You put strings attached. You put administrators in place to ensure that it is spent efficiently and on the things that you're giving the money from. So it doesn't just become a scheme for the Madagascan government to enrich themselves. This actually has to be administered. You actually send, you know, Tony Blair minions with you, okay, to ensure this happens. So that you build a migrant processing center, much like the one they're talking about in Albania and the one that they were talking about in Rwanda, plus foreign direct investment to set up factories and various other enterprises in Madagascar to make certain British products, okay? And then those people who are being sent over to Madagascar aren't just a problem for the Madagascan government. You can stick them in those factories. You can give them jobs, warehouse processing, whatever, but they can do it over there, okay? The jobs are then provided to Madagascar by the migrant processing center. That would be a big operation, thousands of jobs, running that place. Call center minions or whatever, but there's tons of jobs there is what I'm saying. And of course, in the factories and other things that you're setting up with the foreign direct investment, you get overseas jobs for Brits to manage the operations. Okay. You're going to need people to, oversee, to manage, let's just say, some of these operations you're setting up. And you also create an export market for Britain as Madagascar becomes more prosperous. With the millions of people who are arriving from Britain. Now, why would Madagascar go for this? Well, they get investment, they get skills, they get jobs, they get an absolutely massive economic boost and many downstream business opportunities, right? It's not just the factories and the operating center, the migrant processing center, and all of the other businesses that are being set up. It's the downstream effect of that, because those people are being paid money, they've got jobs, they're going to want to buy consumer goods, which sets up opportunities for other people to set up shops and provide them services. And pretty much you're setting Say's Law up in action, economics fans, okay? You're basically giving a kickstart to the Madagascan economy, and then that will have knock-on effects because all these people you're sending there then need, you know, to buy goods and services. And maybe we could also send many of those Turkish barbers there because there's going to be a lot of haircuts required in Madagascar. So you can send all those guys there as well. The locals will very much appreciate the increase in their standard of living. And finally, you get increased standing in the world for Madagascar as it becomes essentially UK 2 or United Kingdom B, something like that. Okay, Britain B. It's like a, you know, which is better than what Madagascar currently is. Why would the UK go for this? Well, it would alleviate strain on public services, on infrastructure, on the housing market. it would open up job and business opportunities for people here, because there would be this deal in place where, you know, rich people, if they want to set up operations in Madagascar, they can go for it. But also it would facilitate the pipeline to Madagascar. Okay, so just that pipeline, how do you process it from the British side? That's going to be tons of jobs as well. You know, and there could be various commissar roles, you know, in the government, or let's say set up the Madagascar migration body or something. There'd be tons of little jobs in there as well. And it would solve the migrant crisis over a long enough time frame, or it would certainly greatly help to alleviate the issue. Why have I picked Madagascar? Well, I like the fact that it's an island, for one, it's self-contained. That means that it's going to kind of knock away some of the, like, let's pretend we pick the Central African country or Chad or a place like this, you know. Those places, they've got neighbors, they've got, you know, there's all sorts of problems that can come from being right in the middle of Africa, as an example, right in the middle of South America, if you want to choose one of those countries. Or in the Middle East, say, you know, armed civil wars, militia groups, things like that. Madagascar, it's an island on its own. So it's kind of self-contained. That's one reason I've chosen it. Second reason I've chosen it is that it is roughly just about twice the size of Britain in terms of its geographic area. But it's half the population. In fact, it's more than half the population. 70 million people almost crammed onto these little islands. Whereas that massive island of Madagascar, only 31 million people, okay? A lot of real estate opportunities there, if you get my drift. Also, if you can have a look on the other metrics, the standard of living in Madagascar is quite low. You know, age expectancy is low compared to the UK. You know, they've got higher, you know, just poor rates across the board in health and etc. If you have a look at the economic breakdown, the economy of Madagascar is 208 times smaller than the economy of the United Kingdom. Okay, so those 31 million people generate only $16 billion, whereas the 70 million people living in Britain generate $3.3 trillion. Okay, so it's a massive disparity in economic wealth and economic prosperity between the two countries, right? So this partnership that I'm talking about, you could make it a private public partnership between British businesses, British government, Madagascan government, and Madagascan businesses and people. You formalize this, and it would actually bring Madagascar up, okay? And I'm imagining a situation where you run adverts on television, commercials, you actually make it attractive to some of these foreign people and say, well, look, your life, you can either, you know, stay in Hackney or something on the dole, taking drugs and, you know, being shanked by some gangster, horrible urban grey Britain, or you go into Madagascar, you get beautiful wildlife, there's lovely weather. It's a very diverse country, so it's very culturally enriching. There's almost no white people in Madagascar, so there's very little toxic masculinity if you've seen adolescents, very little wokeness if you're, you know, there's plenty of foreign people are conservative or right-wing or whatever. You can say, well, look, there's no wokeness there, but you also don't have all these other kind of pathologies and problems either. It's great. It's, you've got all the things that you could possibly want in a country, and there's going to be tons of money and jobs going there. It's the place to be, basically, right? And, okay, initially you could say, well, you know, if you have your citizenship revoked because you're a serial offender or something, you're going to get sent to Madagascar. But you could also make it optional or voluntary. You could be like, actually, it's a really great thing to go. All you have to do is go to the Home Office and say, look, I want to switch. I want to switch from being a part of UK A to being part of UK B. I want to move to Madagascar because I'll get better opportunities and a better life there for my friends and my family and my loved ones and so on and so forth. We're going to go to Madagascar, okay? And then over time, you can see it should solve the issue, because you also may want to write in a few caveats there. As always with government plans, there's the law of unintended consequences. So you'd have to really, you'd have to sit down and think through all of those unintended consequences, and then put in caveats and rules, and to basically force the solution that you want, which is basically to, solve the immigration problem that we're talking about. That is the Madagascar plan. Okay. I don't see any problems with it. I think that as time goes on, as the situation develops, something like this is actually going to happen. Okay. So I'm just putting this out there because a lot of people watch this channel from all over the political spectrum, in both the political parties and so on. We have never been in a moment where something like this couldn't happen. And honestly, if you're from Madagascar, you wouldn't want some piece of this $3.3 trillion dollar like bounty. Don't tell me that Madagascar wouldn't benefit from this. Okay. And the truth is, you could say, like, well, look, in Madagascar, you've got, a population of 31 million people. They're impoverished. They die young and so on. They would actually be brought up by the people being sent there. Okay. Because the people being sent from Britain will come from all over the place. Okay. It won't just be Africans who are being sent there. It'll be like Indians and Pakistanis and, Albanians even. There could even be like some Eastern Europeans who find their way there. It's not like there's not going to be like a set thing. Like if you're of this nationality, you have to go there. It's just like these are the rules. Okay. I mean, you could even end up with a weird scenario where even some natives were like, oh, actually, I'd rather go to Madagascar too. And if, or leftists say, and if they want to do that, fine. That's a great opportunity to set up utopia in Madagascar. And then the rest of us who want to stay in this country, well, you then get the benefit of some of these other things, and you make a system that works for everybody. Division of labor, remember? And so this is basically a division of labor plan spread across two different countries. Now, it could be that you start with Madagascar, right? You start with Madagascar as a trial run, but then you start making these deals with many other countries too, right? So let's just pretend that Madagascar's only got a capacity to take, 10 million people or something, right? I mean, in theory, it should be able to take triple that number, or even quadruple that number. But let's just pretend there's some hard limit, there's some reason. Maybe, I don't know, half of Madagascar is an elephant reserve or something, and we're not allowed to build on it. Let's just say something like that. Then there's nothing stopping you finding other places to do this too. Falklands Islands, as another example, you just find these pockets of, ideal places that could be made good using these sorts of plans. And then, you actually then present a possible better life for people somewhere else. Because this is ultimately the problem, is that let's just pretend you're from Madagascar now, okay? There's no actual, if you were presented with an opportunity to come to Britain, you take it, because life is just, you saw the numbers, right? It's just night and day. There's no mechanism that's pulling people away from Britain, really, when the disparity is so great. So I think something like this is what needs to happen, okay? Because however bad we think things get in this country, trains don't work, the potholes, blah, 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 it's just they're in a completely different ballpark, walking 20 miles with a bucket of water on your head because they still don't have running water or stuff like this, okay? So what I'm saying is you need to develop some other places and then set up a deal so that all of these people who are bringing here can be helped to develop those places and actually make them decent places to live, okay? And this would actually, I think, be a better solution for humanity in general, okay? Because if you want to, everybody talks about, oh yeah, the global majority, the global minority, homeland, and all this sort of stuff. We, in the current world, so much of the wealth is in one part of the world. Okay, and it means that's the place to be. We need to make it so that there are other places that are worth going to, which then pull people away from living here. So anyway, let me know what you think of this. I've rambled on enough today, but I really do believe that something like this would solve the problem. All right. Comments are going to be interesting on this one. Buy a course, 25% off, promo code Mandy. If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.